So we'll just pick right back up then. Again, reading two verses right together, back to back, Proverbs 25, verses 13 and 25. And before I read, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Again, we look to you to guide us through the Scripture and teach us according to your Spirit and to, Lord, to do your will, to love your will, to embrace the truth that's before us, and knowing how refreshing it is to know the source of living water in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, and we pray that you'd help us to be faithful to show others where that fountain of living water is when you give us opportunity. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As a cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. We looked at some examples of thirst last week from the Old Testament. Hagar, in Genesis 21, where she thought she and Ishmael were going to die of thirst, but God took care of them. Israel at Rephidim, same situation, and God, of course, opened the rock and poured out water for them in Exodus 17. And then Samson, in his epic battle using the jawbone of a donkey and killing 1,000 Philistines with it, and then being thirsty, and God satisfied that thirst. So we noted then that the symptom that makes someone know that they need quenching is thirst. Physical thirst makes us know that. Spiritual thirst many times is not recognized for being what it is. In the lost person in particular, until God opens their eyes, just like he had to open ours, we knew we thirsted for something, but until God showed us our sin and showed us the Savior, we didn't know exactly what. And if we had even known to a certain degree, and some of us did, if we raised in church or whatever, but we could not get to that source without God's intervention, without God opening our hearts and minds to the truth, granting us faith and repentance. So the symptom is thirst, and I mentioned a couple of verses last week as we wound up. Isaiah 55:1, the invitation is given, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters." Then, of course, John 7:37, Jesus said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And then in Revelation 22:17, what's called the last invitation that we have in the Scripture, "And let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come drink of the water of life freely." And so, the symptom is thirst. Now, what's the solution for tonight? Well, cold waters. Call cold of snow in verse 13, and then cold waters in verse 25. But the meaning is the same. Something that refreshes, something that satisfies. So, let's look a couple of places in John's Gospel. You're not going to be surprised where we're going here. First of all, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. This, of course, is the Lord Jesus dialoguing with the woman at the well. Beginning in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And then the woman responds, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Of course, at this point, she's still not exactly understanding, obviously, what Jesus is referring to, other than he's saying something that she's never had a concept of before. There is a water she could drink that she'd never thirst again from. So that's her request. And of course, as you know, the rest of the narrative, which we won't read through tonight, he reveals to her sin and her need for him, to believe on him. And of course, she goes back to her village and says, "Come meet a man who told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ?" And of course, it was and is. So, again, Jesus makes it clear that the physical thirst she had was not her greatest problem. It was spiritual thirst, excuse me. Physical thirst was not the greatest. It was the spiritual thirst that she had. All right? So, again, the solution is to drink. I said that last week. When we have a fountain and we're thirsty, there's nothing else needs to be done but just drink, right? We don't have to go through any kind of process. We don't have to go through any kind of motions or some kind of ceremony or whatever. We just go drink. And Jesus offers himself as that living water. And so again, he is the only one who will satisfy the thirst of the soul. That's why verse 25 in Proverbs 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Physical thirst can be taken care of by physical liquid, but spiritual thirst must be taken care of by spiritual water. And that, of course, is found in Christ, and it is the one of the things by which the Holy Spirit is signified throughout the Scripture. The Spirit is signified as fire, sometimes, as water, and then as oil, in the Old Testament in particular. So it is the signifying of the Spirit as living water that is the focus of this. Okay. So then, the symptom is thirst, the solution is the cold waters, and we are to drink, and the source, again, according to verse 25, is from a far country. I mentioned this last week, but we want to go into it a little bit more. Again, verse 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. So let me remind us, though most of you, or many of you probably have it memorized from a child, let me remind you of a passage found in Luke chapter 2. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them being the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now they had no doubt, these shepherds, where that good news came from. They saw the angelic host. They know they were receiving good news from where? From a far country. From the heavenly land. From Emmanuel's land. And so that's our understanding and application of good news. It does come from a far country, and yet it has come to earth. The gospel has come to here, and it does not have to be searched for high and low anymore. Moses makes that point in the book of Deuteronomy, and Paul quotes it in Romans when he says, it's not up too high that you'd say who's going to bring it down, and it's not too low that you're going to say who's going to bring it up. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. The word of faith that we preach, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, that is the good news, and it does come from a far country. One Old Testament passage along with that is in Isaiah chapter 33. If you want to go there with me, Isaiah 33. Verse 17, and this is the promise to those who in verse 15 walk righteously and speak uprightly, that turn away from evil, which of course means the Lord's people. Verse 17 says to them, and only them, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. You know, we as Christians are given a view of heaven even though we don't see it with our physical eyes yet, right? We're given a view of it, just like what Donnie shared a minute ago, what's said about heaven in the Scripture, we can see that with the eye of faith. And so we're given a view of that land that is far off, that far country to which we are headed. And in the meantime, that's what gives us the strength and the motivation to keep going, to press on, because we know, again, as the old spiritual says, this world is not our home, we're just a passing through, right? We are just passing through. We are headed for the heavenly land. And it is already our possession. We just haven't entered into the gates of it yet. But we will. And many who have gone before us, of course, already have. And so, when we think about the good news from a far country, it's really good news from home, isn't it? Paul says in Hebrews that all those heroes of the faith desired a better country. That is, an heavenly. Therefore, God was not ashamed to be called their God, for He prepared a place for them and for us. All those who suffered and died and went through all the difficulties they did through the ages, trusting God, and do it today, and will continue to do it to the end of time. We do it because we know we're headed for a better land. We're headed for the place where we're with Christ. And ultimately, that's what makes it desirable, you see. Sometimes people get caught up on what heaven must look like, and the Bible does give us some description, although it's mainly, to my understanding, symbolic. Now, again, if we get up there and every gate up there is one giant pearl, I won't be upset, but I don't think that's the point of it. All that symbolism in Revelation is designed to say, look, there's no way to explain this to you, okay? So the best we can do is relate it to things you can think of. Precious stones, golden streets, those kind of things. See, we can get a mental image of that. But when we get there, I don't think any of that will be exactly material that way. I don't think it will. Because the point of heaven is not so much the design or the furnishings. It's Christ. Right? And the Lamb is the light thereof, John hears the angel say in Revelation. And so what makes heaven heaven is because Christ is there. So we desire that for our country, but it's not so we can have, as I said a minute ago, this beautiful 45-room mansion with gold staircases or whatever. That's not what heaven's about. Heaven is about Christ and being with Him. And so when we say that that's what refreshes our soul, we have to understand that it's not the location, heaven itself, that refreshes our soul. It is who is there. Christ. And as one of the old guys said, if I went to heaven and Christ were not, if I went to hell, he said, and Christ were there, it would make it heaven. And see, that's the real point of it all. Heaven is not heaven because of how it's furnished. It's heaven because it's where God dwells. It's heaven because it's where the saints are in perfect union with one another and with the Lord. And so that's why it's refreshing news. Now, to wind up with this, back to verse 13 as we close. As cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. What are we called to be? We who only, out of all the be, according to this verse, faithful messengers. Faithful messengers. You see, if we know someone is dying of thirst physically, and there's a great source of water right there, but they don't know about it, and we just say, well, poor fella, that's tough, you know? He could get some of that water, but he doesn't know it's there. But you know it's there. Wouldn't you not have enough basic care to say, look, man, here's water, drink. How much more when we're talking about eternity? We're talking about life or death, right? Spiritual life or spiritual death. If we know where the fountain is and we meet somebody that we can tell is thirsty, we are greatly in error if we don't tell them where to find a drink, right? And so that's why we're what we're called to be, faithful messengers, because we refresh the soul of our masters in doing so. That is, those who lead us, who guide us. We refresh those souls. And ultimately, I'll say this. It may sound a little strange, but I think we refresh the soul of Christ, in a sense. In other words, He's glorified when we share the message, right? That's what glorifies Christ, is when we tell another thirsty soul where we found water. And that refreshes Christ in that sense, that we are being obedient and we're doing what He's given us the opportunity to do. Yeah, right. Right. Okay.
Any other comments or any questions?